Okay, let's go on from there. I would like to briefly introduce our Mexico mission report this morning. When I say briefly, I do that because I don't want to take away from the stories that the people have to say, and also we are very time limited. So we had a team of 21 people on the mission team in Mexico, and only about half of them will be able to report this morning. We had mostly good weather while we were in Mexico. The forecast was calling for some rain the first few days, but we did not get enough rain to stop us, so we had good weather generally. And in spite of the difficult or challenging working conditions, the house got completed in good time. Thank you, team, for working hard. Thank you, team, for your team spirit. And thank you, church, for standing behind us. The support is worth a lot. Tyler, why don't you come up with your family, and you can. I'll keep on talking a little bit. This morning, we're going to have a number of people do the report. We'll start with Tyler, Melissa, Michaela, and Alexa. And after that, Brendan and Lisa, and then Chloe, and then Ed. And then we'll close off with Martha and Corny. So come up in that order, and that I don't have to come up in between. And after that, after Corny and Martha have done their report, then the land will take over. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Well, that's not a bad response, Dylan. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. So, as Dennis had said, we're here to share our a bit of our experience that we had going down to Mexico. So we're just part of the group that went out to Mexico to build a house, but it was so much more than that. Some of us are going to speak about our experiences and show some pictures of our experiences and different things that we saw out there. Some of those pictures will be self-explanatory, like some of the construction process, and of Corny showing his profound wisdom with our younger generation. Those pictures will be quite evident when you see them, as well as some of the photos you won't know. You'll see people you don't know and faces you don't recognize. As we speak of those experiences, some of those photos may take or make more sense. Some may make sense, some may not, but if they don't, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask any of us, and don't hesitate to ask. We'll be happy to answer them. We'll be able to explain quite a bit of the trip and what it was like. There's some things that we just won't be able to explain, like the emotions behind it, and you just really have to be there to experience it and to know what we're talking about. Some of those things are going to be like the feelings emotions of meeting the family for the first time, seeing the smiles on the girls at the refuge, like on their faces every day when we got back from working all day, learning from each other, laughing together, handing the keys over to the family and seeing how dusty the air was at the time because you couldn't look around and see a dry eye. It was just crazy sandy in the air. The opportunity to meet and help out one another and help out another family that we didn't even expect to help out. Once again, a very sandy, dusty moment. And, yeah, there'll be a few more. So I'll just get Riley he's just going to play a slideshow in the background, and we're just going to kind of have it looping on repeat or whatever the case. And some of the things people will say or whatever will tie into some of these. And if you have any questions about them, like I said, don't hesitate to ask. So as you all know, we went out to Ensenada, Mexico, to build a house for a family, a mission our church is involved in, as a lot of you know. It was for that same family that a few weeks back Dennis had showed some pictures of. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. So we all met up in Ensenada at the refuge on Sunday, February 12th. Some people had driven out from San Diego and some had flown directly to Mexico. So the refuge is run by Randy and Sandy, for those that don't know, and their daughter Larissa. She's an incredible cook and was very helpful. And plays a very prominent role in that family. So it's an orphanage for youth girls. Just a little bit of the background of the orphanage. So they've taken these girls through various means, sometimes being dropped off by the Mexican police. As there is no other option for them, due to them fleeing for their safety and being at a high risk for exploitation and being very vulnerable due to their unfortunate life circumstances that they're stuck in. So due to the threat and high risk for some of these girls, we were requested not to share any of these photos or anything that we took online, and obviously I'd request the same going forward. So once we were in Ensenada and at the refuge, we had the opportunity to meet our whole team that we'd be working with, as well as meet the refuge family. The girls led us to our designated rooms and immediately began to show us great hospitality, very, very friendly. There was definitely a language barrier, but with some effort and sometimes some translation, we could communicate fairly well. And laughter is a common language across the world, so that's really great. It's amazing how different we all are as people, and yet with God, we can be united for the same purpose. And that was a very prevalent feeling when we were out there. Seeing the smiles on the girls' faces and hearing their constant laughter was such a blessing as well. So we spent the rest of the Sunday together getting to know each other. And just within our team alone, we had such a wide variety of life experiences and various trades and skills and stuff, so we got to talk and find out what those were. Monday morning came early, and it was a bit chilly, but was met with some coffee, several smiles, and good mornings, or buen dia, which is also good morning in Spanish. We tried to learn language as we went. I was not very successful, so I definitely learned better than I did. So we prayed together and ate together, and then we headed out to the job site. So in no time, like within minutes of leaving and driving, I was already changing my thought process. I began to really appreciate, for the first time really in my life, the principle of paying taxes. It's crazy. But we think we have rough roads out here, but what we drove out there was rougher than some of our ditches out here. But talk about being proficient. A one-lane road could become a four-lane road with tons of millimeters to spare in between. You could fit four vehicles side by side and easily have four toothpicks in between them. It was crazy. Yeah, Pansy Road's like a freeway. So we got to the area and turned off the road, as they call it, and the extreme poverty became very evident out there. So we traveled on that cattle trail for vehicles for several minutes before arriving at the job site. We then met the family for the first time, who we were building the house for, as well as the foreman, whose name is Darren. He'll be in some of these pictures as well. So we all prayed together at the job site there and then got started. So it was like a well-oiled machine, the way the team worked together. It was on that first day that I could see that God had picked our team and our set of skill sets and had planted our desires to commit to the trip to be his hands and feet. For me, it was a time of feeling selfless and serving such a greater purpose. It was just very, very fulfilling. We accomplished a lot that day, and from what we were told, it was more than what was expected. We had lunch at the job site, and at the end of the workday, we 4x4'd back to the refuge. A few cases of whiplash, but they were fairly minor in nature, nothing that needed the hospital or medical attention. We had supper all together, then praised God with songs, did a devotional, and played games with the refuge family. The games that we played in the evening seemed to be quite a highlight for the refuge girls. Between those games and Corny trying to talk over the translator during times of devotion and sharing, massive awkward moments, brought the most laughter for everyone by far. We continued each day very similar to the first day, allowing ourselves to be used by God to accomplish his mission. At any given time, whether at the job site or the refuge, there was laughter, joking around, and relationships being built. Two pieces of scripture that continuously came to my mind while we were out there was Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5, and I'm going to read them. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in his spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, living with one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So the working together with one mind and one purpose was very evident when we were out there. We're all out there for that one purpose of building that house. The other part was don't be selfish, which was, but thinking humble of yourselves and putting others first. It wasn't an official workspace, yet everyone through humility yielded to a chain of command system, which allowed the project to get completed in a very timely manner. Even though we may not have agreed on how things were being done at the time, we still submitted to the direction, and there was definitely no place for pride, which made us very proficient. And then I read verse 14 as well. Do everything without complaining and arguing. And that was also very, very important. It's an unwritten command, basically, that we all exercised out there. And we didn't complain or argue. We just did what we had to do. The other one is found in 1 Peter 4, verses 9 to 11. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So Randy, Sandy, and Larissa, like the ones who run the refuge, and the girls were so friendly sharing their home with us. Throughout the mission trip, it became quite apparent that everyone had gifts and was using them for God's purpose. From the refuge providing food and hospitality and making us feel at home, to the team using their gifts and various skills at the refuge and at the job site, to the family we were building the house for and their purpose within the community and spreading the word and love of God within their community. And just everyone encouraging everyone in what they were doing, as well as encouraging everyone, each other, in their faith. I feel I may have got more out of this trip than the family we went to build a house for, or the other family that we had the God-given opportunity to help out with, which there will be pictures of if you, like I said, feel free to ask questions or anything like that later or whatever. It was just an incredible experience seeing how God worked from the beginning of the trip, planning, strategically putting us in place and planting those seeds within our hearts, and then kind of prompting us to go and meet up there. And what are you going next? Thanks for listening to me blab on.
That's a lot to follow up with. Morning. So I'm going to totally go way off track what he was talking about. For me, this was incredibly difficult decision to go and do this. I'm a planner and a doer, and I like to have everything managed the way I like it. So when Tyler first talked about this mission, the first things that I felt was fear, anxiety, and stress, and I was completely terrified. I had questions, and nobody was answering them. Or I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted, which was planning and figuring and talk to my friends, my girls. You know who you are. You're all here today. Talk to my girls, talk to my friends, and not one of them supported that at all, my plan. Thank you. See you. Lower. Still see you. I am really, really, like, direct me again. Good? No? I don't want to stand in front of it. I don't want to. Okay, let's go back. I'm really, really. You have to stand in front of it. No, you can stand closer. You got this. Thank you. Thank you. He has us, not me. I am so excited that none of my friends backed me up when I was begging for them to tell me how crazy this idea was and how crazy this plan was. I am so glad that all of my girls, all my friends said that you just need to go. And it was very, very frustrating for me at first to just be still. And that's what kept coming back over and over, is to be still and to listen. Came to me many, many times. Am I still ringing? We're uncomfortable.
Who would have thought this would be more difficult than the trip?
Oh, you're up next. I'm going to sum it up. So, for months and months and months of planning.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. And still trying to control everything and still trying to plan everything. And I just want to reiterate that's just be still and be calm and listen. And then we got out there, and I envisioned that we're going to cross the border and somebody's going to be arrested or somebody's going to get shot or something. I have no idea. But we all got there, and nobody was held captive, and everybody was fine, and another reminder to be still. Our family and this awesome team of people that came out was just, what an incredible thing. And such a reminder, I think, right? Just to be still and to listen and to not stress out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, but this is what we need to do. Walk by faith, not by sight. And I almost lost out on this adventure. I could have just stayed home and been comfortable, but to listen was an awesome thing.
Good morning, church. Oh, that's trippy. Okay. Okay. My name's Kaylee. I'm their kid. So I just want to start by saying that I feel really blessed to have been able to go on this missions trip with the church group. It was a really fun time, and I feel like I've definitely learned a lot. Life in Ensenada is a lot different than life out here, and to be able to go out and make... Nope, hold on. The words are too small. My writing's too small. And to be able to go out and witness that for a few days inspires me to want to go out and make more of a difference in the world. Definitely looking forward to going again in the future. Something that stood out to me is that the kids of the family we were building for were so eager to help out however they could. They did not complain once, and any jobs that nobody else wanted to do, they were like, yeah, no, they'll do it. So anyways, the pastor and his wife, those were the people that we were building for. They just sat on the hill during the days and just watched in awe as their dreams came true right before their eyes as we were building for them. Another highlight would definitely be the food in Mexico. The tacos are insane. They're, like, so legit, so genuine, so good. Definitely recommend the tacos if you ever go. The devos and the worship in the evenings really hit different for me. Worshiping in different languages, but all to the same God, is absolutely amazing to witness, and I feel so blessed to have been able to take part in that. On the last full day, the youngest girl in the refuge came and took my hand and led me to the trampoline, and we had so much fun jumping. Her and I hadn't had a connection previously. She has definitely more of a shy personality, but I felt so special that she came and picked me to jump with her. I'm beyond thankful for all the relationships built and the memories made. The way we went as a group of 21 people who didn't all know each other all came with one goal and one purpose, serving our awesome God. A couple of ladies and I put together Valentine's and self-care bags for the girls at the refuge, and getting to see their excitement as they opened it all was so good to see. We also had the opportunity to build another house for Pastor Jose's neighbor as well, and just seeing the happiness, excitement, and joy on all these people's faces after receiving something so small that doesn't feel like much to us. That's what definitely had the biggest impact on me. On the way to the trip, God had put something on my heart and on my mind. When we see people who are poor, we should feel connected to them in a way, because they're physically what we are when our hearts are closed to God. Sometimes when we try to help people, they seem ungrateful, closed off, or even mean, and we need to keep in mind that we've been all those things to God when He tries to help us. We can still rejoice over the opportunity to love as God loves. And yeah, overall, I just feel very blessed to have been able to go and excited to go again next year. Thank you.
Okay, so my main jobs on this trip were painting. I cannot tell you how many times we repainted that wall.
Who are you? We don't know.
You all know. I'm Alexis. Anyways, I can't tell you how many times we repainted that loft, different colors and stuff, but it was good. And then my other job that I was asked to do was taking pictures of the group. So all of these pictures I took. I really enjoyed taking the pictures because it was awesome to see like the whole team working so hard together and stuff, and smiling and like joking around and enjoying working together. When I would walk by people and I would ask them for pictures, they would smile or wave or give me a thumbs up or something. Like, I have everyone doing a thumbs up at some point. Yeah, they were just, everyone was just really happy. Even if they hadn't known I was coming around, then I could take pictures of them without knowing, and you could just see how happy they were to be working for this family and for God. It was also really cool because when I was doing painting, I was kind of in my own corner painting, but then to see what everyone else was up to and talk to different members of the team and stuff. Yeah, it was just good to chat with everyone and get to know them, because before I went there, I hadn't known most of the people on our team. Like, I hadn't really ever talked to any of them. So to be able to stay together for that time and, like, really become closer to them, and I feel more closer with the church in that way, too. Another thing that really stood out to me with our team was how everyone worked so well together. There was no arguing or fighting over jobs, even jobs that maybe weren't so fun. Everyone worked really fast together. Like, I was so impressed with how fast the house went up. And yeah, just the fact that everyone put their pride aside and we all did what we were told and we all had one goal, which was for God. Yeah, you could really tell God had his hand on this whole project, even with everyone's attitudes being cold and underslept and stuff. It was not that warm in Mexico. And yeah, short on sleep and just really long work days, but that everyone was able to be happy and smiling. And yeah, another thing that was great was in the evenings, I really enjoyed spending time together as a team and then with the people there to be able to pray together and worship. That was, I feel like it brought the team and the people we were staying with closer together as well, especially because we didn't really see them during the day that much. And one thing was just how selfless they are. Like, out there, they don't really have anything. But the fact that when we came out there, they welcomed us right away. They made us food. They hung out with us. Like, they were just completely selfless in, like, every way. And that was really inspiring because you see how much we have out here. And sometimes, well, I speak for myself, we tend to hold our stuff close to us instead. But just to see how loving they were and stuff was really amazing. Overall, the entire experience was, I don't even have words, but I can't wait to go again next year with another great team.
So yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about the other house that we built. If you could just keep this slideshow running, because we didn't have any pictures. But I'm Brendan Fair, and this is my wife Lisa, and we went along to the Mexico missions trip this February for the house build. It was once more a very busy but fulfilling week. This particular build was a little bit different than others that I've helped with. One being the house was a bit larger than usual builds. Second, we helped another family set up a small living space next door to the pastor's house.
Yeah, so on Tuesday, it was on Tuesday, right? When the other family showed up. There was a family that showed up in a minivan, and they started working on their property next to where we were building. And, they basically came with, what, 6 2x4s and some plastic, some broken pieces of plywood, and they were going to build themselves something to live in. They were digging in the very hard ground to get some of their posts up. So then the team went over to chat with them. They had bought a lot that was about 30 by 60 feet around there. And they got kicked out of their living quarters where they were currently living, which I'm not sure if that was with family or if they were renting somewhere, but something like that. So they decided to try and build something on their property that they were, I guess, making payments on, so that they didn't have to rent. But really, they had nothing. The decision was made that the team would help them build their shelter on top of us building the other place. So,
yeah, if you see in some of the pictures, there's you can see where they were putting their 2x4s up, and the house was 10 feet by 20 feet, and then just had a slope for the roof. And it was just built out of, we did aspenite on the walls and a plastic tarp for the roof. And if you, the picture comes across, it's the building there with the orange wall and the one window in the middle. So on the Wednesday, the day before, we decided we would help this family with their house. And on the Wednesday, Randy brought some more 2x4s and OSB sheeting and a plastic tarp that was a little bit bigger than ours, so that they could cover their whole house. And we ended up using a jackhammer to dig the holes for the 2x4s because the ground was so hard there. As the other house build continued, a few of us worked on the small neighbor house. We were able to finish it on Thursday morning, and then it was all hands on deck to finish the pastor's house.
Yeah, so after we had the house dedication for Pastor Jose and his family, we gave the neighbor family some blankets and gifts, and they were very grateful for that. I kind of wish we could have left them with more. Like, I felt like it would be nice to put beds in their house because it just had a dirt floor. And I'm not sure if they had mattresses or anything like that, but we gave them what we had. So, it was a mom and a dad and two little girls that were going to live in this building or in this shelter. But they now have a place to stay, and they were very grateful. And the mom kept saying how we were angels on earth to them, and she just kept thanking us over and over again. So on these pictures you can see the house or the building. On this side it's already wrapped. Those were the 2x4s that we put up. Or was that before? That was what they had started with?
Yeah, that was what they started with.
Yeah. The husband was saying that he had just felt he needed to stay and build this particular day, and now he knew why, because we were building next door and we were able to help them, and it was just, I guess, an answer to prayer for them, and so they were super grateful, and it was an amazing experience. The whole trip was a really good experience. It just helps us to be more grateful, I think, for the things we have.
Yeah, and I would say for anyone that's thinking of going on a trip like this, you should just do it because it's amazing.
This was a life-changing experience, which doesn't surprise me because I was expecting to encounter God and grow my faith in a new way. But something that stood out to me was the gratefulness of the neighbors to the original house family. The first day we began building the house, there was a young family with two young girls who slept under the stars that night and possibly a few nights before that, as their prior living arrangements with friends ceased unexpectedly. So they purchased a small plot of land with the last of their money, so there were no extra funds to build a house. This family had no wardrobe or furniture, just whatever they wore. They literally had nothing. They excitedly watched their new neighbor's home be built by a crew of 21-plus volunteers, and their two young daughters helped paint while the couple got to know their new neighbors. The refuge purchased building supplies so our team could quickly build a makeshift shack for this impoverished family. Four wooden walls on a dirt floor with a black tarp as the roof to this family's new home. They were so thankful, they all had tears of joy, but specifically the dad. He was basically falling apart. We blessed their new home, prayed for their family, and shared Jesus' love with them in a tangible way. This experience left an impact on me, and I plan to go back next year.
Scared to touch it. It's going to shock me. See, I'm older. Got to bring my reading glasses. Don't laugh. Just kidding. A little bit nervous, so I got to say funny jokes. When Sandy Huber came before Christmas to do a report for the mission, I right away felt like I was drawn to helping out and going, but at the time, I had, like, just really bad shoulder pain. I had something wrong with my shoulders, and I had a work project going on, and, you know, you start making excuses, I can't go, it's not going to work, my health isn't good, but I started praying about it and letting God make the decision for me, right? So as I was praying for it, the Holy Spirit started to stir in my heart that I should go. And so then I called up Dennis and said I'd be interested in going. And then my shoulder pain went away. We got the job done. And the project, everything falls into place, right? So as we give it to God and we allow His will to be done in our lives, the things that we worry about just take care of themselves. So that was kind of neat for me to experience that. I just had couple of notes here on some of the other things that people have already mentioned, but I'll go over them anyway. We got to, I got to travel with some of the young adults from this church. Sarah, Chloe, Keegan, Carter, we kind of did our own trip and met there, and it was really cool, so thanks for being great travel partners. We got to Los Cabos. We missed our flight there, and we had to run back to Terminal 1 to try to get our flights, and then we missed our flight anyway, and so, you know, you think, well, everything's supposed to fit into place, everything's supposed to fall into in line when you're doing these things, and sometimes hiccups still happen, but yeah, God was with us, and He provides, right? And I think it was a good experience for them as well, just to see how travel works. Sometimes you miss your flights. Anyway, I was wearing a shirt. This is kind of funny. Is Sarah here? Oh, she's not here. Oh, she is. Hi, Sarah. So I was wearing a shirt. It said something about hunting and fishing. Fishing solves many problems. Hunting solves the rest. It's just, you know, man thing. And so I'm wearing that shirt, and we missed our flight, and we're trying to talk to Spanish-speaking people about getting onto the next flight, and it's not working. They're giving me websites, and they're not working, and nothing is working. And Sarah looks at me, and she goes, "So how is hunting going to solve this problem?" It was really funny. I said, "Well, we're going to hunt for a new flight. That's what we're going to do." But in my head, I was praying, right? I'm praying. I'm saying, "Lord, help us get to where we need to go." And we got there about 2 hours later, so it worked out. All right, back to my notes. Getting to the refuge and spending time with the team was absolutely wonderful. The program that Randy and Sandy are running is just amazing. They are doing a wonderful job. They have such big hearts towards God and to the care of the girls that they have in their refuge. They are extremely busy, and they work very hard every day, feeding, getting them to school, teaching, teaching English. Just all the needs that are being met take a lot of work. Plus, they were feeding us and taking care of us, you know, in the evenings and for nights. So they work hard, and they do it year after year. Going back to the refuge after working hard all day was just amazing to see these young ladies and these girls full of laughter, full of joy, you know, knowing where they've been and where they've come out of, and, you know, knowing that they've come into this refuge to experience the love of God and to be taken care of by believers was just amazing to see them being happy and excited to live and to just share that with us. So we had good experiences in the evening, just doing worship, prayer, Bible studies, and it was just a lot of good times, a lot of laughter. I will never forget Josh's name. If, for those that were there, they'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, lots of laughter. Yeah, they had hope for their future, and they had joy in their hearts because of the gift of salvation. Sometimes we think we have it rough. Sometimes we think life isn't fair, and, you know, we kind of self-pity. But when we see what these girls have gone through and where they've come out of, we see the poverty in Mexico and the people that we're working for and building for, our problems become a lot smaller. Building the house was a new experience for me. I'm a builder, and in my head, I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to do this. How are we going to do this? 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. Like, I don't know how these walls are supposed to go up. I don't have a blueprint. I don't have dimensions. I don't know how this is going to happen in 4 days. And Dennis is like, well, just show up. It's like, okay, I'll just show up. I wanted my tools. I wanted my blueprints. And he says, show up. And you know what? Everything worked out. There was somebody to lay out the walls. You follow the plans, and you just build. By the time you get to the next wall, somebody's ahead of you laying that one out. You just got to slam some nails in and keep it rolling. So it was really neat to see that in 4 days we can have the shingles on and we can have the paint on. You know, it was drywalled with mud and taping and painting, and it all got done, right? The best part of the build was to see the team working together. I got to meet a lot of people. And if I haven't met you, I got to know you a little bit better. Wonderful group of people working together was just amazing. There were young people that were laughing and having fun, even though they were carrying shingles up the hill, you know. It was a pretty steep job site, and, you know, there's a lot of material going up. And these young people would just grab and go, and just laughing the whole time. We had older people that were sharing the love of Jesus with neighbors, encouraging people, and just trying to communicate to them in through the language barriers, right? So if you either had a translator or you just made the best of it, but there was a lot of good things happening outside of building, encouraging the neighbors and talking to them. The ladies did a fun time with with the kids in the neighborhood, and just so much excitement to be together, you know? Not even be able to speak the language. It was a beautiful sight of doing the work of God. The family, the Casillas family, was the pastoral family that received the home. They were part of the family of God. You know, we know we have a church group here, and we know people in the church, but often we forget that, you know, these people are doing the work of God. And he's a minister sharing the gospel to his neighborhood and doing street ministry just from his shack that he had on his yard, you know. Nothing there, and with nothing, he's reaching out to people that have nothing. And we have so much, and I think we, with the amount that we have, how much do we give compared to how much he gives with his little? I found that very touching for me and moving. It really stirred me up. And I think I can do a lot more after I see what they do with little. I could not speak their language, but I saw that this family was grateful and happy regardless of their situation. I did not get to speak with Jose or Ophelia much, but I saw their hearts and their love for God in their actions and in their humility. I got to work with 16-year-old Manuel. He was one of them, and he was up on the roof. He was painting in one of the pictures. He was just a happy guy and couldn't speak our language, but just right there following our lead, right? If I take a nail and I put a shingle in, he could follow me and do the same. And he was willing to help out. It was really cool. This family, they prayed for a home down in Mexico. They're praying for a home, but it wasn't just for themselves. It was so they could house their friends and people that came to the Lord, and they wanted to help others with their house. So here they're in need of a house, but they're only wanting it so they can help others. But here we're in Canada, and the way it all worked out to build this house for a pastoral couple instead of one of the ladies from the refuge, it just seemed to be the plan of God. And it was good to see how the work of God is global, right? We're up in Canada, and we're being led of the Spirit of God to go in Mexico and help somebody that's in need there who's also a believer. So that was really neat for me. God provides for his people by using his people. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. These are two verses that I was thinking of during this missions trip. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So all said and done, the trip was amazing. Got to spend time with some really good people, and we got to do the work that God called us to do. We thank God for his Spirit and for the leading of his Spirit. If God draws you to do a work in a mission field or to help somebody build something, be obedient to that Spirit. Thank you.
I'll go first, and then she can end up. Several things that really struck me, like there was a real incline there, and when we were cutting the 2x4s for the walls, there was a couple of young ladies there that would carry them up, and so I found something very interesting. And some of those 2x4s are really waterlogged or whatever chemical they use. So then we would give them two 2x4s, they would scatter up. And then one time I gave one of the girls three, and then the next girl wanted four. But I tell you, after that, when they came down, they didn't want nothing with four, because there was a couple of heavy ones in there. And so they just took two at a time after that. No more chances. But they did. They really worked hard. Guys, those girls almost outworked the guys. Yeah. It was really good. One thing I want to share, what really struck me, I didn't do much work. I was not feeling well that whole week. And so I didn't do much. As you saw some of the pictures, I either lay down or wasn't it. But then I do that often on the job. But there's one thing that really struck me. It has been mentioned several times, how everybody worked together. It was phenomenal. But the thing that really, I'll just tell you what happened. On Wednesday, we felt that we should collect some money together to give for food for those people. And I was just amazed as to the money that came together. And then the next morning, two young ladies and... two young ladies came to her. And said, we have some money here, but this money is supposed to go to those people in that poor shack over there that had nothing. And when I say nothing, you talk to anybody on that trip, those people had nothing. And and you two girls know who you are. But that they had this, it's a heart issue, isn't it? Isn't it a heart issue? And they said, this is what we want to give. That blessed the socks off of me. And God honors that.
As some of you know, I think Ensenada runs in our veins by now. I think it was our eighth trip. It might even be the ninth. We're not quite sure at this point. Again, every time we go, we are so incredibly blessed that all we want to do is go again. And as you can tell, it just is the way it is. Since we're building for a pastor couple, the second day there, the pastor came up beside me, and he says, I have a verse for you. And if you don't know this, our Lisa can actually interpret a little bit.
She's half Spanish.
Yeah.
Mexican.
So that was an incredible blessing because I didn't quite know where this pastor wanted to go with that. But I would like to leave you or say this verse to you guys as well. And it's found in Deuteronomy 6, 6, and 7. And if you ever think that our teens of today are a lost cause, they are not. And this scripture verse will verify that our kids, I tell you, I'll just go back to how our teens worked hard between carrying shingles, the 2x4s, the painting, and one of the things that blessed me almost the most is when their jobs were kind of done, what they were doing, they just come up beside you and said, what should we do next? Or if you'd ask them, are you looking for something to do? They would just run off and gladly do whatever what they were called to do and pitch in. It's like they were already catching the vision of what we need to be doing to make sure that mankind is actually looked after. The scripture verse that the pastor gave me is, like I said, Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you live, when you lie down, and when you rise. Those were the words the pastor said to me. Then he blessed me the next day with another statement, which I have no idea why he said that, but he says, you remind me of my mom. And I thought, what an incredible compliment. First he tells me that the day before, then he tells me this, and I'm thinking to myself, Mister, you also just blessed me incredibly. What an honor, because we have tried living out this verse. So if there's parents in this audience that are feeling that they're not getting anywhere with their kids, keep on, keep on, keep on. The results will be there. The scripture confirms it. It will happen. What are some of our highlights? My highlights. Corny has his own. I have my own. The kids were, of course, the youth were great. I forgot my page here. Okay.
I think you need one more page.
No, I don't need any more pages. We got enough pages. I want to go a little bit into the fact, besides the painting, the building, the physical, the pastor runs a program on Saturday mornings together with Randy and Sandy, and it's called, they call it a feeding program. The people come out, they have a meal, and the pastor gets to do his ministry with the people. Randy and Sandy decided they were going to do this one on Wednesday so we could actually participate. So that was really cool. So I had been asked to do a Bible lesson, so with an interpreter, we managed to make that happen. And I also had a little, I would say there's probably about 20 kids with moms. There were some dads all in this coming to DVBS. That's what they called it. And I had brought a bag of goodies for that particular evening or that afternoon. And so I didn't let the kids get their hands in the bag. That was not what I wanted, but I wanted, so I would pull something out and just give it to them. I had candy in there. I had different little things in there. And then the kids would run off and go play. But then what struck me was there was one mom. As I had some things left over, I started giving out to the moms that were sitting there, and some of them got candy. Like, who doesn't like candy? Who doesn't like chocolate? Whatever it was. But I had some pencils in my bag, and that lady had seen that I had pencils. She distinctly asked me for a pencil. A pencil. She was almost in tears when I pulled a pencil out of my bag and gave it to her. This little 10-cent thing has value to that lady because that means that her child the next day will be able to use it in school. We take it all for granted because we got it all. They don't have that. They don't. Think about it. A little pencil. The second thing that kind of I want to share with you is this family that has been talked about that was impacting us with a little shack that had nothing. On Wednesday evening at devotions, I said, Corny, those blankets that are on our beds, there's those big, fluffy, fat blankets on the beds. And actually, when we put in our money to stay at the orphanage, we actually pay for them so we can actually have them. So I said, those blankets tomorrow morning are coming with us. We are giving those away. Those people are getting them. He looks at me with horror. What are we going to sleep under? Just the thin little sheet? Think about it. It was frost that morning. It was chilly. It was cold. It wasn't the warm Mexico that some of us like. But I said, well, suck it up, boy. We'll either cuddle or you'll be wearing all the hoodies that you have along. Pick your pick. Which one would you like? So we took the blankets along, and after we had dedicated the house for the yellow house, then we went, this couple, and we had our four blankets or whatever we had, their five. I'm not quite sure. Some of the kids also, teens also gave a blanket or two. I'm not quite sure all of that. But what struck me was this gentleman, in his gratitude, he was going like this. He had no Kleenex. Of course, he wouldn't have been able to afford Kleenex. He was just going like this with a sleeve, whatever he could do, as the tears rolled down his cheeks. And I thought to myself, as I thought about it even more, those, Lord, are holy tears. They are not just ordinary tears. They're holy tears. Think about it. A crazy blanket so someone can stay warm. And we have so much, so much. I want to just use this scripture verse. Matthew 25:40 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It's not about us, folks. It's always about others. Always, always, always. About others. Thanks.
As we think about what happened here, let me ask you this question. How would you summarize what you just heard from what was shared? What just happened? Think about that in your head. If you would say, and I also want to say thank you to Dennis Friesen for initiating and making it happen. What just happened? If you were to say, well, we sent a team down to Mexico and they built a house. You're not wrong. But you just got started, right? Because it's far more than just a house being built, right? Sometimes when we encounter and you, if I just think about some of the things that I just heard in the little bit of time that we gave them to share, We heard about lives being impacted because they saw poverty, experienced it, and you noticed something, that it wasn't just something that they saw, that it stirred something in them. You heard several people say it. It actually is inspiring them to do something more. And so we see that happening. We heard about connections that happen within the team. I would call those horizontal connections. They're happening in the team. They're happening with the girls at the refuge, with the people that own the house. There's connections happening there. But at the same time as you hear that happening, there's connections happening this way because so many people just connected that to the Lord. And so you see that being stirred in a very new way. And I think that even as we hear it here, we also have this happening where we are now making connections with the people that just went. We got to hear it, and yet even in Pansy, we're connecting that with the Lord, and the praise goes to Him. And so I also heard several people, and I love it. When people come up here and they just got uncomfortable with the mic, you know what that tells me? It's actually kind of symbolic of what happened in the entire missions trip. Because they were willing to get uncomfortable for Jesus. That is awesome. And think about what you heard. You already heard that then they actually want to do more. There's an inspiration to do that again. And once you've broken through that ice and you realize, you know what, God's not stopped by being uncomfortable. He's not uncomfortable. And actually it comes together and great things happen. And then you heard people share scripture. And here's where this gets real for you and me here today, the ones of us that were not on this trip. And even those that were. You heard scriptures shared here this morning that you and I know and are familiar with. We know that the Bible says if you give it as little as much of a cup of cold water to somebody in the name of Jesus, there's a reward coming for you for that. We know that principle, right? We know that if you want to be if you want to be great in the kingdom, what do you have to be? A servant, right? We know these things. Tyler shared from Philippians chapter 2 about this attitude that Jesus had and that we're supposed to have the same one. How we're supposed to serve out of 1 Peter 4. We're supposed to serve from His strength. Edwin mentioned how it's more blessed to give than to receive. Can you guys see what's happening? Open your Bibles. This is going to get real right here. James chapter... It's in James. Let me think about the chapter. Just get to James chapter 1, verse 22. Some of you know this by heart. James chapter 1, verse 22, what does it say? Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If you and I hear... We're here today and we hear what's happened. We hear this team that went there. We hear that they're doing actually what the Bible prescribes for us to do. And then we sit here and go home and do nothing. What have we done? We've deceived ourselves. We actually have an obligation to do what it says. Last Sunday, while you're in James, let's look at in chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. Did you hear any of that today? If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about it, does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If you and I hear this today, and we already knew this, but now what we just saw happen here was symbolic of an example of what this looks like to get uncomfortable to serve Jesus. If you and I now do nothing, we're actually just deceiving ourselves, right? If you flip a few pages over to 1 John chapter 3, I'm just going to read verses 16 to 18, and then we're going to close with a little challenge and a prayer. It says, this is how we know what love is. Remember, I don't know if you remember last Sunday, we recognized last Sunday that if you were going to praise Jesus for one of his characteristics, it sometimes is awesome when you think about Jesus and sometimes a little bit convicting because you recognize that we are supposed to reflect that, right? And so when we think about Jesus' love, what you just saw here was an example of people loving, but this is what it says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. If we don't do something with what we just heard, we are actually opening ourselves up to deception. So real quick, what is it that you and I can do from here today? There's probably a longer list, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to say this. We can start off by praying, right? And when you're praying, it's not just a random prayer, but if you want to pray about how to serve, you could ask the Lord to give you the desire to serve, and you could already start praying for the people that you're going to serve, right? And start praying in that regard, and even for opportunities. We could also start giving. All of these people that went on this trip actually spent money. It was uncomfortable. But we could do the same thing today. You could think about where to give money, whether that's here to your local church, whether that's through another organization that connects humanitarian aid with the gospel, or maybe you just start saving up intentionally so that next year you can go on this trip. There's ways to give. But in addition to that, on your way home, maybe if you're not the one driving, you could look out the side window and start looking at people whom you could serve right here. And even pray on the way home. You might even start praying that before you even leave the church building. Are there places I can serve right here? Why don't we just ask the Lord to inspire us as we do this? We've seen this example. Let us follow it well. Lord, I just ask for your blessing on this congregation. Lord, I thank you so much that we have servants like Dennis Friesen in our midst who have faithfully for many years inspired a team to go on a trip like this. I thank you for the obedient people that went and served even in their uncomfort and their discomfort, Lord, and yet they went in obedience and they get to see the fruit from that. Thank you for those participants. And I thank you, Lord, that we have people listening to this message today. And I ask, Lord, that we would not just sit by and be like that person in the book of James who, oh yeah, I really wish you well, but does nothing about it. I pray that we would actually go out and do it, Lord. Show us places where we could serve today. Who can we encourage? Who can we even be willing to get uncomfortable to serve? And Lord, if you would have us start saving up so that we could do a trip like this again next year or sometime soon in the future, show us, Lord. We want to be willing to get uncomfortable for you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.